All right, guys, massive victory for the Republicans as Donald Trump makes a historic comeback to win the presidency, becoming the 47th president of the United States. The Republicans come away huge with a massive red wave. They've taken the Senate, and now they are fighting to take the House as well to clinch a trifecta. We're going to talk about all this tonight, what this means, where we're going, and key points on what all this means. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Wednesday, November 6th, the official day after, 24 hours later. And believe it or not, we already know who the president of the United States is. And it is, believe it or not, it is Donald Trump against all odds. Everything that was thrown at this man, all the lies, all of the scandals, the accusations, the convictions, the attempts on his life, he clawed his way through all of this. All of the predictions, the naysayers, the deniers, all of the accusers, the slanders, those who tried to sow the defamation, all of it. I believe we witnessed an absolute miracle, my friend. I believe, and I'm going to talk more about this today. I believe we saw the sovereign hand of Almighty God in this election. And guys, before we get deep into this thing, I need you to do me a favor. First of all, I want to welcome everybody to the chat tonight. I know a lot of people, if you're like me, I didn't get much sleep last night. And I could tell all day, it's been a long day, a lot of caffeine, a lot of struggling, some cat naps here and there, but we're here and we're standing, and it was worth the victory, not for politics, but for what was at stake, the reprieve that has come for our nation. We're going to get into all that tonight. And again, we welcome you. We welcome you by Apple, Spotify, Rumble, YouTube, the rebroadcast, the live chat below. Help us out, guys. Get some likes out here. Again, smash that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that bell notification. This is going to be beneficial to both of us. It's going to help us get our program out there and get eyes on it, but it's going to help you by notifying you and keeping you up to par with everything we're doing. You could take it a step further today. Download our free app available on Apple and Android devices. All you got to do is download it. It's free. No charge to you. Just hit yes to push notifications when you do that. And then what's going to happen is every headline, every breaking news, every prophecy viewpoint, every podcast right there at your fingertips, your tablet, whatever device you use, it's going to be right there. It's going to be beneficial to you. So guys, I'm going to pull up this clip. This is from Glenn Beck. And I love what he says here. He says it very well. And so I'm just going to let him talk for a few minutes because I echo what he says here in this clip. So let's watch this together.
Use us. We're a little delirious. My apologies, and this is sincere, my apologies for not starting the program with thank you, Lord. Thank you to the Almighty for giving us not what we deserve, but giving us mercy, which we do not deserve.
Amen.
That we witnessed a miracle last night with everything that was going against us, everything that, this shouldn't have happened last night. I mean, I'm glad it did, but, you know, they have spent $500 million just on abortion, $500 million on the abortion message.
Think about that.
Yes. The direction of our country is completely in the wrong direction, and enough people woke up. Enough people saw that and stood up and were willing to be called Nazis and everything else, and they just didn't care.
Oh, and I have. I don't know if you – I don't know what's going on in your family dynamics, but my phone's blown up all day today. I've been called a white supremacist. I've been called a neo-Nazi. I've been called everything – everything but what is polite, and it's from my own family. So when Jesus said, your enemies will be those of your own household, and it's not because of politics, guys. It's for what's at stake. Like he said, this party spent $50 billion with a B on defending the shedding of innocent blood. So this is a huge victory, and pardon me, if it offends you, too bad. If it offends you that I'm wearing the red today, because I stand for the unborn, major topic. I stand for the sanctity of marriage. I stand against trans ideology, the mutilation of children. I stand for the morals that this country once stood for prayer, for Bible reading, family values, when we used to had common sense and called a man and a woman, I'm sorry, excuse me for being outdated and accused. I was accused for voting for an individual that set us back 50 years. And you know what I responded with? You know what? This might be a good thing if that's the case, because I think a lot of us would be better off if we went back to some of the values that we held 50 years ago. After all, 50 years ago, there wasn't a social media, which has been the very direct cause of a lot of the division and discord and chaos that is destroying families and children and society in itself. 50 years ago, when we had something called common sense, when we had moral standards, when we blushed about displaying things on national television in sights in the sight of children. You know, 50 years ago, you would never see somebody that was be trans in a library among children reading stories to them. 50 years ago, when a man, it would not be walking into a girl's bathroom. So if you want to accuse me or anyone else of that, you go right ahead. We'll wear that badge of honor. I mean, what do I know? I'm just a ignorant, white, gun-toting, God-clinging piece of garbage. But I'm not alone. Because half the country stands with me and stands with you. So just keep that in mind. Wear that crown, wear that badge of honor today, and wear it good.
And I think that was a miracle. And God was gracious yesterday. He is not done with America, apparently. He's just not done. So thank you, Lord.
All right, let me know, guys, what you. I'd love to hear from you in the comment section. What is your thoughts on this? Do you believe that God, that this was a supernatural intervention of a sovereign God, because God has spared America and given us a reprieve? And now, one of the questions I'm going to ask tonight, and I've taken some notes on my phone because I want to make sure I do not miss any of these key points. We have to ask ourselves tonight, while we're sitting around celebrating, we have to remember this comes with a great responsibility. I'm talking about believers here, okay? I'm not talking about a political party here. I'm talking about believers. If God has truly given us a reprieve, which he has, Because I said the other night, I said on November 4th before the election, when which was a Monday night, and we prayed, and during our prayer time, many of you will remember this, I said that depending on this outcome of this election, either we're going to get a reprieve, and we have to really seek the Lord in wisdom and find out why he's given us a reprieve. And what do we do? What is our responsibility as believers? Or number two, if Kamala Harris would have won the election, I believe it would have fulfilled a prophecy of William Branham in 1933. And I lost sleep over that, as well as many others who understood the magnitude of what was at hand. So I agree with what Glenn Beck said. This is a miracle. God has spared us. God has been gracious. God has given us grace. He has given us his mercy and given us a reprieve. And now it is up to us as believers to seek the face of God and ask the Lord, God, why have you spared America? Why have you spared this man to lead this country for such a time as this? And what is the role that we are to play as the church? We're going to answer to my best of my ability. I don't claim to have all the answers to this because I don't. But I'm going to give you some points of my view here in a little while. But let me get to this. I want to show you this. When God shows up and he does something and he moves in a supernatural way, it is going to be historic, unprecedented, unbelievable, and miraculous. And it will make the entire world gasp, their jaws dropped. And I can tell you for a fact, friend, there was a lot of gasping, jaw dropping, and tears flowing about 3 a.m. this morning. The Republicans won control of the Senate, and Democrats are fighting to take back the House. Here's another report. GOP trifecta on the line with House control in limbo. The fight for the House majority is still too close to call again. This was at 5:37 a.m. Eastern time. While Donald Trump has won the presidency, it may be days or weeks until we know if he'll have power if he'll have powerful allies atop of the House, due in part to close races in states that take longer to count ballots in California and Arizona. For months, neither party has held a significant edge, and both parties predicted most gains if they get control of the House. Results were still too close to call in a slew of battleground House races early Wednesday morning. However, the Associated Press projected that two Republican incumbents in New York would lose re-election. Both of them represent districts won by President Joe Biden in 2020. Now, again, we know that Republicans indeed have won control of the U.S. Senate and remain locked in a tight battle in 2024 for control of the House of Representatives. And another huge victory, three states held strong to protect life on the ballot, but seven states enshrined abortion. Again, now after the dust has settled, we know again three states have upheld the protections of life on the ballot, while seven states enshrined abortion. Let's get you up to par on this. 10 states across the country voted on ballot measures as pro-choice forces sought to overturn pro-life protections and permanently enshrine abortion rights in state constitutions, in some cases allowing abortions to be performed up until birth. In the end, some of the most closely watched abortion amendments passed in Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, Missouri, Montana, but were voted down in Florida, Nebraska, and South Dakota. So let me say that again. Florida, Nebraska, and South Dakota upheld life, whereas Arizona, Colorado, Nevada, Missouri, and Montana all voted again to enshrine abortion. Now, Kristen Hawkins, who is a president of Students for Life of America, told CBN News the Florida measure would have allowed abortions through the third trimester. Quote, "If this would have passed in Florida, a woman could have said that her mental health would be at risk for giving birth or having a child, and it would justify abortion even in the ninth month of pregnancy." Quote, "This was a massive win thanks to the pro-life movement thanks to Governor DeSantis, that we defeated Amendment 4 in Florida. Pro-life advocates across the country celebrated the Florida voters who showed up at the polls to protect the lives of the unborn. Now I want to read this, quote, Amendment 4 failed in Florida because they have a leader who is unabashedly pro-life and who is not scared to lead the charge against abortion at every turn. This was according to pro-life activist Abby Johnson on X. She went on to say that, quote, he does not worry about optics. He doesn't worry about any cost to his campaign. He stands against abortion because he knows it is the murder of innocent, and he isn't scared to say just that. Wow. All right. Meanwhile, look at this. Sarah McBride becomes the first out transgender individual elected to Congress. Not sure if you know this or not, but Delaware State Senator Sarah McBride won the state's only House seat on Tuesday, making her the, quote, first openly transgender individual elected to Congress. Quote, tonight is a testament to Delawareans that here in our state of neighbors, we judge candidates based on their ideas and not their identities. McBride said at a Delaware's Democratic election night celebration, she thanked her friends and family and her late husband, Andy Cray, who died of cancer back in 2014, just days after their wedding. NBC News reported that Jake Carpenter, 42 years of age, works in finance for a college near Lincoln, Delaware, and said that he met McBride in a meet and greet back in August when he asked her, quote, what have you promised and how have you done it? She walked him through the policies that she worked on in the state Senate, and she won me over, he said. Quote, I knew that she was trans, and being gay myself, I wanted to see someone like me, someone part of my community, be successful, Carpenter said. She's like a, quote, hero to me. He knocked on dozens of doors in Sussex County, the only majority Republican county in the state, to talk to people about McBride's platform. He said he persuaded six Republicans to vote for McBride. He added that he's an advisor to the LGBT club and the college he works for, and that, quote, for my trans students, this is a really big deal. Kelly Robinson, who is the president of the Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest LGBT advocacy organization, describes McBride's win a, quote, landmark achievement on the march towards equality. Again, so we're electing officials to push an ideology. Now think about this. But if the roles were reversed and we elected someone in someone into the Congress who was the first, think about this, charismatic, Pentecostal, tongue-talking Christian, how do you think that would go over? How do you think it would go over if in the dialogue was, you know, I met so-and-so at church and at a revival meeting, and he prayed for me in the spirit, laid hands on me, and we talked about God and this and that, and I knew at that point that this was the guy that needed to be elected, and so we campaigned for him because, after all, we hold prayer and Bible meetings in our home in whatever state, where we gather and we pray in the name of Jesus and do all this stuff. And then they went on further and said, this is a great victory for Christianity and God. Guys, you think that would go over well? No, it wouldn't. It you already know the response it would be for that. So this is just profound to me. All right, what about foreign affairs? What Trump's win means for Ukraine, the Middle East, and China. Quote, during the campaign, Trump repeatedly said he could end the war between Russia and Ukraine in a day. When asked how he would do this, he suggested overseeing a deal, but has declined to give specifics. Okay, again, guys, I don't care who this is what he said. Like him, love him, hate him, this is what he said. A research paper written by two of Trump's former national security chiefs in May said the U.S. could continue its weapon supply to Ukraine, but make the support conditional on Kyiv entering peace talks with Russia. To entice Russia, the West would promise to delay Ukraine's much-wanted entry into NATO. The former advisor said Ukraine should not give up its hopes of getting all of its territory back from Russian occupation, but that it should negotiate based on the current front lines. Now, keep in mind the mess that's already going on there. You've got troops from North Korea involved. You've got South Korea involved. I mean, it's a complete mess there. And this is something that Trump is going to have to face. Now, speaking of NATO, NATO now counts 32 countries, and Trump has long been a skeptic of the alliance, accusing Europe of free riding on America's promise of protection. Whether he would actually withdraw the U.S. from NATO, which would signal the most significant shift in transatlantic defense relations in nearly a century, remains a matter of debate. Some of his allies suggest his hard line is just a negotiating tactic to get members to meet the alliance's defense spending guidelines. But the reality is NATO leaders will be seriously worried about what his victory means for the alliance's future and how its deterrent effect is perceived by hostile leaders. Now, look, this next line is very interesting. And again, I am not, and I want to preface by saying this because I know people will run wild in the chat with this. But we're going to read it anyway. As with Ukraine, Trump has promised to bring peace to the Middle East. Now, this doesn't mean, when you say this, people automatically say, well, my God, he's the Antichrist. Guys, listen, I'm going to make a note, and I think I've done this before, but I'm going to make a note of why, and maybe we'll call it like 10 reasons why Trump is not the Antichrist. Because guys, again, the number one reason, and I don't really want to get into this, but I got to say this. The number one reason why Trump is not the Antichrist is because, again, Bible prophecy, is not centered around America. It's centered around the Middle East, howbeit the Mediterranean basin, sea basin area. This is the area, Revelation 13, where the Antichrist, called the beast, the first beast, rises up out of the sea. It's the Mediterranean Sea. Let me say that again for the back row. The Antichrist rises up out of the sea. This is the Mediterranean Sea Basin area in the Middle East, around where ancient Babylon was, which consisted of Iraq, Lebanon, and Syria. That was the ancient Babylonian Empire. I'm telling you, Trump is not the Antichrist. Neither was Obama, neither was Bill Clinton, neither was George W. Bush, neither was George Bush Sr., neither was Ronald Reagan, neither is Prince Charles. Again, stop. When are we going to learn our lesson on this, guys? Neither is the Pope, neither is Bill Gates, neither is Elon Musk. None of these guys fit the bill, friend. None of them. We have to stick to the scriptures. I know I'm going to get a lot of hate on that. That's okay. It's nothing new. Let's go back to this. Again, Trump has promised to bring peace to the Middle East. And I want to, let me say this again. If you go to Daniel 9:27, I just thought about this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In Daniel 9:27, let me just pull up the scripture here. Remember, guys, in Daniel 9:27, the Antichrist will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, and again, that's 7 years, and in the middle of the 7 years, he will break that covenant, and he will invade Jerusalem and take the Temple Mount as his headquarters and his seat of authority, okay? But don't miss it. In Daniel 9:27, when the Antichrist comes, it didn't say he establishes a covenant with many for 7 years. It says he confirms. So again, to confirm something means that you put your stamp of approval on something that's already in place. There will already be a series of treaties in place, and the Antichrist comes along and just completely confirms it. He puts his stamp of approval on this thing because he will be that global leader that will rise in the last days. Now, why did I say that? Because that makes this even more intriguing, and here's why. Because Trump could be responsible, watch this, for being one of many leaders that will establish a peace treaty with Israel and the nations of the Middle East. So that doesn't make him the Antichrist, but he's being used by God. You ready for this? To bring about and fulfill Bible prophecy. Whoa. Now think about that. I know this is a different angle than what's out there on TikTok and YouTube where everybody's like, this guy's the Antichrist because he's going to sign that 7-year treaty. That's where they're getting that at. But no, again, you got to go back and study those scriptures again. But Trump could very well, hello, the Abraham Accords. So in essence, guys, he's already in the stepping stones of doing that, of signing these accords or these peace treaties. But when the Antichrist rises up out of the Middle East or the ancient Roman Empire, one of those two areas are the key locations where the Antichrist will rise up. He is going to just take something that's already established, the paperwork's laid out, the blueprints laid out, all the legalities of the peace treaty, the everything is going to be there, and he's just going to come along and confirm a treaty with Israel and the surrounding nations in the name of peace and safety. And then thus that will fulfill 2 Thessalonians for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, because it's going to be through these series of peace treaties. Eventually it's going to be strong enough and convincing enough for Israel to let down their guard, to lower the wall of security, to bring down their gates of security where they're dwelling in peace and safety. Okay. So again, I'm not saying Trump won't be used. I absolutely believe he's already been used. And now there's a 4-year space of time that God will fulfill his purpose for Trump, not only to bring a reprieve to America as far as judgment comes, but also to set the stage for further prophecy to be fulfilled. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? You follow me? Let me know in the chat. If you're following me, I don't want to lose you here. I'm trying to pull all the angles here. Let me read on here. Trump has promised to bring, quote, peace in the Middle East, implying he would end the Israeli-Hamas war in Gaza and the Israel-Hezbollah war in Lebanon, but has not said how he will do it. He has repeatedly said that if he had been in power rather than Joe Biden, Hamas would have not attacked Israel because of his maximum pressure policy on Iran, which funds the group. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and step out and say this. And I don't believe that, because that attack was deeper than what he's implying here. We've said this before. There was Muslim clerics that understood the magnitude of what the Jews were doing in Jerusalem with those red heifers. And they understood, they know what's going on, guys. They are informed. You think they're ignorant to the fact that the Sanhedrin and the Temple Institute and all of these Messianic Jews and Orthodox Jews are anticipating the building and construction of a third temple, and they know that they have these heifers ready to go. This was one of the reasons why they attacked Israel. You know what the bottom line is? You can't stop Bible prophecy, friend. You can delay it. You can hinder it. You can bring a reprieve, which means, again, it's a time of delay. Nineveh had a reprieve, but then they were destroyed, because the sad reality is, even though we have a reprieve in America, what are we going to do with it? If we don't repent and the church get cleaned up and get right and get back to the Great Commission, and don't make the mistake of putting Trump, on the throne and taking God off the throne and looking to Trump as their savior. Because if they do that, they've missed the whole point. Because Trump is simply a vessel that God is using in the last days to fulfill his will and his purpose. Y'all better hear this preacher today. And I get accused all the time, and it makes me laugh when people accuse me of worshiping Trump because I voted for him, or idolizing Trump because I voted for him. No, let me clean out your ears, dummy. I'm going to say it again. I voted for the best choice that we had, to stand for the sanctity of marriage, for the unborn, and for all the other issues that I've already covered. But you don't hear that. You're tone deaf to that. All you hear is, we worship Trump. And there's people out there that do. Don't get me wrong. They do. They in their mindset, they believe that Trump is some kind of a savior that is going to bring America into this blessed utopia. And this is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. All right, let's read on here. Broadly, it is likely Trump would attempt to return to the policy which saw his administration pull the U.S. out of the Iran nuclear deal, apply greater sanctions against Iran, and take out Iran's most powerful military commander. In the White House, Trump enacted strong pro-Israel policies, and that's another reason why we voted for him, naming Jerusalem as Israel's capital and moving the U.S. embassy there from Tel Aviv, a move which energized Trump's Christian evangelical base, which is a core Republican voter group. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called Trump the, quote, best friend that Israel has ever had in the White House. But critics argue his policy had a destabilizing effect on the region. Well, of course it did, because it upset the Arab population. The Palestinians boycotted the Trump administration because of Washington's abandonment of their claim to Jerusalem, the city that forms the historical center of national and religious life for Palestinians. They were further isolated when Trump brokered the, quote, so-called Abraham Accords, which saw a historic deal to, quote, normalize diplomatic ties between Israel and several Arab and Muslim countries. Again, remember what we talked about, the series of treaties, right? They did so without Israel having to accept a future independent Palestinian state alongside it, the so-called two-state solution. And again, guys, I hate to tell you this, but somewhere down the line, America will be involved, I believe at 100%, will be involved with dividing Jerusalem. And I base that on Zechariah 12 and Joel chapter 3. The nations of the world will come into judgment. Joel 3, Zechariah 12, Zechariah 14, and Matthew 25 all tell us this. Nations will be divided from sheep and goat nations, and the consequence of the judgment will be, according to Joel chapter 3, Zechariah 14, Zechariah 12, they will be brought to a place called Megiddo, and they will enter into Armageddon, and God himself will judge those nations because they've divided Israel. So somewhere down the road, either with Trump or without Trump, it's going to happen. Meanwhile, the Empire State Building glowed red for Trump's win, and Democrats called on Zeus to show his wrath. This is not the Babylonian Bee, friends. Let's read this. This is from the Mirror. Other sources have also reported this as well. Quote, the Empire State Building glowed red for brief moments overnight as Donald Trump clinched victories in key swing states, North Carolina and Georgia, sparking backlash from the Democrats who accused the New York City landmark of celebrating the end of democracy. The landmark lit up red from approximately 11:22 to 11:27 p.m. after Trump was declared the winner in North Carolina. It illuminated red again at 1 a.m. following his success in Georgia. The building's social media account had announced beforehand that it would light up red or blue for 5 minutes after each swing state win until 2 a.m. I guess they missed that memo. Nevertheless, although it only shone red twice as the election wrapped up around 5:30 a.m., some disappointed Democrats already reeling from President Kamala Harris's lackluster support in New York City voiced their frustration over the display. Quote, now look at this. Quote, may Zeus himself strike this building down. Well, that's lovely. Invoking false gods and mythology. One user commented, in response, the Empire State Building social media team clarified that the decision to light up for swing state victories was, quote, made before the election results were known. Again, they missed that memo, apparently. Meanwhile, at The View, They were ecstatic about the victory of the Republicans and the win for Trump. I mean, they were in such jubilee. Oh, wait a minute. Oh no, that's not the case at all. In fact, The View co-host Sonny blames, quote, uneducated white women for Trump's victory. So, if in the chat tonight, if we've got some if we've got some white women, come on, don't put your hand up, ladies. But if you're a white woman in the chat, then the View Sunny said it's because it's your fault that Trump won the presidency because you're a, quote, uneducated white woman. The View's co-host Sunny Hostin slammed uneducated white women for Donald Trump's victory and said that, quote, she's worried about internment. But not only is she blaming uneducated white women for the win of Donald Trump, she is also deeply worried about internment camps. That's right, you heard me. Internment camps. This was during an episode today. Quote, I'm profoundly disturbed. We know that he will have unfettered power. So according to this lunatic, Donald Trump is going to start rounding up all of the enemies of Trump and putting them into camps. Here again is more of this stupid neo-Nazi lingo, this rhetoric that these are Nazis and this is Hitler. I'm so sick of this stuff, guys. But yet they allow, and I don't understand, how does this show stay on the air? I'm telling you, I'm convinced that the government funds this show. There is no way their ratings can be that good to keep this stupid, disgusting show on the air as long as it has. Who is watching this stuff? Who? She went on to say that Donald Trump's historic win makes her worry for her daughter, who now has, quote, less civil rights than she does. She went on to say that now that America's healthcare system is now at risk and that Trump's win makes her worried about the, quote, mass deportation and internment camps. All right, now that we've established all of the facts here, Trump has clinched the presidency. The Republicans had a huge win. The rivers of tears are flowing from coast to coast from all the liberals and all the lunatics. We've established all this. We've talked about what the world is holding its breath on policies that Trump has said that he's going to do. We're going to see if he holds up to those things. But now I want to shift gears. I want to talk about this. Okay, I believe, listen to me carefully, this is going to be, we're going to get serious here for a minute. The sovereign hand of God was displayed in this man's life to supernaturally protect and preserve this man and keep him alive for such a time as this and for him to take presidency. Now, while we've got, all of our eyes are on Trump, here's something you got to remember. And again, I took notes last night because I want to make these key points. We got to remember that his vice president choice is J.D. Vance, who, remember, he served in the U.S. Marine Corps before his political career. He enlisted in 2003 and served for 4 years, which included a deployment to Iraq as part of Operation Iraqi for Freedom. Vance has credited the Marine Corps with teaching him disciplines and structure, as well as providing a pathway out of economic challenges he faced growing up in Middletown, Ohio. And he put all this in his book that he recently authored. His military experience has been part of his public narrative, often emphasizing how it influenced his worldview and resilience. Now, why is that important? Because I want you to keep this in mind. Here you have a sitting president who was very stern with world leaders. Kim Jong-un, President Xi of China, Vladimir Putin. And now you have a vice president with military background. Is it possible? I don't know for sure. I don't have a word from God. But guys, it could be very possible, being that we're seeing nations begin to form alliances, axes, and allies. We're seeing World War III footing begin to take place and shape up, spelling again, the pathway for global conflicts. Who better to have in a position of authority of America than these two individuals? I think that is profound. Could it be possible, guys, listen to me, that America is, that we as a nation is now being prepared to enter into, again, an actual military conflict? And if so, look who you have in these positions. That's something that maybe, guys, that you've not thought about, but I thought about this and I wanted to throw this out there. Okay. Here's another thing I want to point out. And that is this. It is absolutely imperative now that Trump has won this election that we have to continually bombard heaven and pray for his protection. Because if you think the nut jobs were out to take this man down before he got elected president, what do you think is going to happen now? Okay, look at this headline. This is from the Daily Mail. Trump could be assassinated like JFK if he tries to end Putin's war in Ukraine. This was according to a Kremlin official. This was a Kremlin official. A top Kremlin official has warned a tired Trump could face a JFK-style elimination if he really tries to end Putin's war against Ukraine should he emerge victorious from today's U.S. presidential election, which he did. The chilling warning came on Sunday from close Putin crony Medvedev, formerly Russian president and his country's longest-serving prime minister, now deputy head of the Kremlin Security Council. So here we have a direct threat, again, coming from the Kremlin that Trump's life could be in danger if he interferes in the affairs of Russia and Ukraine. Now, that is international. That doesn't even include domestic, where all the other attempted assassinations came from. So it is imperative, guys, that we cover this man with our prayers and intercession. Ask that the angels of God protect this man, plead and profess the blood of Jesus over this man, claim Psalm 91 over this man, because again, this is now, whether you like him or not, he is our leader. And then lastly, a couple other things I want to cover real quick before we sign off for tonight. If you remember on Monday afternoon, on November 4th, the day before the election, we played a video, and it was a video of Donald Trump, which he attended the Faith Leaders Summit in Atlanta, Georgia, where in which Jonathan Cahn got up and prophesied over him that God's hand had been on him, and it was a divine a protection. It was a divine call and a will of God for God to use Trump for such a time as this, to overthrow Jezebel and to bring a reprieve to America. Now, we played that clip. I'm not going to replay it tonight, but you can go back and watch our Monday podcast at 2 p.m., our 2 p.m. Eastern podcast. And we played that clip, and I said, and everybody, of course, not everybody, but a lot of people, they criticized this and they unfollowed us and they did, and they were more interested in informing me of something I already knew and where he is this, or he's of this camp, or he's a false prophet and all this stuff. And I said, well, we're going to see if what he prophesied is false or not. And I come by to tell you today, it's been 2 days later, 48 hours later, and this man's prophecy was not false. Trump indeed won the election. And again, you couple this with the fact that God supernaturally protected Donald Trump and preserved him, we have to admit and come to this conclusion. And here, this is where I want to end this podcast tonight. I'm going to give you a thought-provoking question. What do we as the church do with this? We have not one, not two, not three, but we have 4 years, Lord willing, 4 years now of a reprieve. So what do we do with this? Do we fumble the ball? No, that's not what we do. Number one, what's the Bible says? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. So number one, we've got to keep our hand to the plow and occupy till he comes. We know that much adversity is going to come from this. We may celebrate today, but friends, tomorrow, you better be on guard. Our president better be on guard. The nation better be on guard, because all of hell lost some battles. And God's camp won some victories. And remember, just because the children of Israel got access to the promised land didn't mean that they would have to not fight to stay in the promised land. Are you hearing me? They had to conquer giants, walled cities, and ites. And the adversity is going to come. The opposition is going to come. And we're not talking about, I'm not wrestling, we're not wrestling flesh and blood, guys. We're talking about Ephesians 6, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, the whole nine yards. Again, there we are in the last days. Don't miss, just because Trump won the election don't mean that God has stopped his prophetic calendar. And if anything, this is just another step. You may not understand that, because some of you were convinced that he was going to lose the election and this was just going to accelerate us into the age of the Antichrist and all this stuff. But guys, I'm telling you, God is still on the throne. God knows exactly what's going on. And again, I emphasize that Trump will be used to fulfill Bible prophecy. But what do we do as a church? Guys, while we're all focused on the wars and the political upheaval, the lawlessness, all of this stuff going on, God is moving behind the scenes. There is revival happening in college campuses around the nation. We've talked about it. Other preachers may not be talking about it. Other ministries may not be talking about it, but we've talked about it. Thousands and thousands of young people in college universities are getting saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, the whole miracles, healing, the whole nine yards. We're talking about, again, thousands of college students coming, spontaneous baptisms. It's happening. And I believe it's going to continue to happen, because if we truly are, friends, on the precipice of the last days, of the last hours, of the last minutes, and the last seconds of the last days, then the latter rain is coming. And I believe, and again, there could be a debate, friend, of whether or not it's already falling. Okay? But we, as a church, have to do something. We have to, in the words of Trump, we have to fight, fight, fight. Now, we're not talking about clubs and swords and bats and guns. We're not talking about that. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about getting in your prayer closet. I'm talking about getting on your knees. And I'm talking about fighting in the spirit realm. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sins and wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and heal their land. The fact that this man won the presidency is the first step. This is not the end game, friend. This is just the beginning. This is the first step. Okay? Now, as the body of Christ, we have to pray for this man, for his life, for legislations, because there's legislations that he is going to pass. And I may ruffle some feathers here, but even a man who endorsed him, Elon Musk. I'm not a huge Elon Musk fan. Just because he endorsed Trump doesn't mean, oh, goody. I just love this man. No. This man, in my opinion, is, how can I put this? He is one who sounds a lot of red flags and alarm bells. Number one, he's the innovator of technology that wants to put chips in your head. Now, I don't know, maybe you're not as well educated in the Bible as I am, but when I hear about someone who wants to put something in my body, it reminds me of Revelation 13 and the mark of the beast, a buying selling system that will be, something will be put in the body and to identify you as a recipient that is following the Antichrist in his system, which will be, it's a religious system that implements this through the false prophet. By the way, who will handpick innovators and people who has this technology and the know-how and the money to create this image of the beast. And it, by all definition, guys, and criteria, Elon Musk, by his own resume, could fit that bill. He has the know-how, he has the skills, he has the innovation, and he has the money to do this. I mean, my goodness, guys, he's creating, he's all about cyborgs, he's all about transhumanism, he's all about putting chips in brains, and he's wanting a robot in everybody's home. And I don't like any of this stuff. It makes me nervous. So I'm paying really close attention to that dude. Okay, so again, I don't agree. There is some spiritual advisors on Trump's board, howbeit his main spiritual advisor is Paula White. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I am not a fan of Paula White. Now, you can get mad at me, but it's not the first time. But I'm not a big fan of her. Now, there's others that I do like. And I'm not going to sit here and name the ones I do and do like because it's irrelevant. The point is, I just want you to know. It, because you, some of you, you guys think that I am just so oblivious to this and I don't see all this. And I, my guys, I am wide awake. Just because I don't agree with you that Trump is the Antichrist doesn't mean I'm not wide awake. I see all this and it does make me nervous. But let me go back to what I'm saying. I believe that there's going to be legislations and laws and bills that President Donald Trump will sign into law that will affect us as U.S. citizens, but then even some of the things that he may do overseas, internationally. We don't know what's going to come if he does put into place some type of peace negotiations and whatnot with the Middle East, and then with this thing with Russia and Ukraine. We don't know what's going to be the completion of that. What does that look like? What does that entail? What does it mean for us? Is it going to endanger us? Could it, you know, again, so these are all these variables and factors, and that's why we have to continually keep praying. But don't miss it. While we're all celebrating for the unborn and celebrating for the sanctity of marriage and celebrating for all these other issues, don't forget, as a born-again believer, friends, this is where I want to close it right here. Our citizenship is not here. It is not America. It is not the United States of America. Our citizenship is in heaven. We, as Paul said, are sojourners. We are passing by. Come on, somebody. We are here temporarily. And while we are here, we have a great commission. We have a mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of Donald Trump. Okay? Come on, y'all agree with that in the chat? Let me know. Are you still here? Did I ruffle your feathers too much and you got offended and you left? Come on, you guys, you already know how I am. I hope that this is our last political conversation that we have for a while, because I'm done with it. I am not a fan of politics. The only reason why I talk about it is because I have to. All the while in the midst of all this stuff, guys, I have taken notes and notes and notes and notes on equipping messages that I've got lined up. I was just waiting for all the dust to settle on this stuff. So if you guys love equipping messages, oh man, we've got some good stuff lined up that we've never taught on before. Now think about that. That's saying something. If you guys have been following our ministry, for the last 14 years, because we've done thousands and thousands of messages, literally. And there is some new, brand new material that we got out there, new studies, and I can't wait to deliver those. So we're going to have all that up. And of course, guys, again, this is why we tell you, download a free app so you can keep up with all this stuff. Again, on Apple, Android, it's free. Hit yes to push notifications. Again, please, guys, help us out. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. That's going to keep you informed, keep us in connection with one another, and you can do all that here as well. And guys, if you love our ministry, it equips you, it informs you, all the above, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways, electronically or through check or money order. And if you do that, it's right there on your screen, End Time Headlines. P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Now, guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. I plan on being back here tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern. Right now, I'm going through a physical battle. I am in a flare-up physically of some things that it flares up every like 2 or 3 months or depending on situations and whatnot. And it's very unpleasant physically. But we press through, we keep, you know, we just, by the grace of God, there's things that we can do to help it. And there's things that I can do to exacerbate it. So we have to learn that, learn wisdom. So I appreciate your prayers, but we plan on being back here tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern, and then back on here tomorrow night, Thursday night, November 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern. If anything changes, we will announce that and let it, and we'll let you know in the community, group there on YouTube, on Telegram, on Facebook. We usually announce this all across the board so you'll know what's going on. So in the meantime, I pray that the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.